The gospel is from the book of John. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 12. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work in the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man," but they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." This is the word of the Lord.
It's the 21st day of the seventh month, the month of Tishri, which makes it late October-ish. And the Jews in Jerusalem had just finished up their celebration, the Feast of Booths, which is called Sukkoth. Each night of this seven-day festival, they lit torches in the city of Jerusalem, torches that were, by some estimates, as tall as the city walls, if not taller. And the holy men and the elders of Israel danced the night away in front of the flames. It was just before those torches were extinguished the last night that Jesus said to them all, "I am the light of the world. And whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The meaning was painfully clear. Here were these men who saw themselves as pillars in the community, as the keepers of the faith. And Jesus has said to them, "I am the light, and you are in darkness. In fact, you're in spiritual darkness." Those were fighting words. But Jesus had just started. He was nowhere near done with these men. He told them that he alone was from above and that they, in fact, were from below. And it continued to go downhill for these elders and these leaders of the church in Jerusalem. These men who prided themselves and told anyone within earshot that they, in fact, were descendants. They were children of Abraham. And Jesus said to them, "Nothing in the way that you live or worship or pray, nothing in your faith indicates that you even really know who Abraham is." And they asked him, "How do you know so much about Abraham?" And Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. Before Abraham was, I am." There it was again. Those two little words, "I am." Jesus had the audacity to use God's formal name. The people would not stand for it. They would have none of it, and they tried to stone him. Picture the contrast. The dark of the torches that had gone out. And Jesus, who is the light of the world. One of the things that John likes to do is contrast the light and the dark. Here it was never so clear. And then Jesus left the temple. Kind of a picture of what it looks like when the light of God leaves the house of God and goes into the world. And on his way out of the temple, Jesus encounters a man who has been blind from birth. He's never known light of any kind. None whatsoever. It's a condition that even today really isn't fixable. But there's something different about this particular story. If you've read some of the stories or you've heard read some of the stories of people that Jesus has healed, all of them have come to him. They've heard that he is somewhere and they go there. Somebody lowers them through the ceiling on a pallet. People are brought to him. But this is the one and only time where Jesus initiates conversation with someone who needs to be healed, at least that we know of. He stops in front of this man who was born blind. I would be willing to bet that there was a huge crowd of people that stopped with him as well. This blind man was no doubt in his spot, kind of like you all are in your spot right now. That's the spot that he went to every day, close to the temple, and he would beg because there was precious little else that this man could do. You see, there were no seeing eye dogs. There were no Braille books. He went to his spot every day, day after day after day. Festival times had to be wonderful because there would be more people that he could beg from. But this man had no opportunities. There was no chance for a job. There was absolutely no way that anyone would marry him. He had no social standing at all. In fact, when people saw him, they often scratched their heads and said, "I wonder what he did, what sin, what horrible sin he committed that caused him to be born blind. Or maybe his parents. Something horrible had to have happened." And here was this man who, through no fault of his own, was at the very bottom of the social ladder. And the worst part was there weren't even any social services nets that could catch him, that could make a difference in his life. But the thing is, and this is where John goes with this, is that there are many, many people in this world, whether it's Jesus' day or ours, who have physical eyes that work perfectly well, but their spiritual eyes are blind. They can't see Jesus. They choose not to see Jesus. They don't want to see Jesus. And in fact, when John looks at men and women of his day, who though they have good sight, but they don't know Jesus, they don't have Jesus in their life, he looks at them as their spiritual blindness is just as dire a situation as this man who has been blind since birth. The thing is, Jesus is the true light. He came into this world to shine light. But there are those who choose to hide in the shadows, those who choose to walk in darkness, those who would much rather not see the light at all. So I wonder, what sort of darkness do we know? Yes, when the sun goes down, it's dark. Yes, at nighttime when we turn off a light in a room, it gets dark. But that kind of darkness in our world is passive. When the light shines, the darkness is eliminated. But that isn't the case with spiritual darkness. Spiritual darkness is not passive. Spiritual darkness is active on a couple of levels. On the first level, this spiritual darkness is circulated, promoted, put forth out there for all of us if we choose, under the leadership of Satan. He's more than happy to try and pull us away from Jesus, who is the light. And while no one wants to really talk about Satan, and the world may very well say that he doesn't exist, there is nothing in Scripture, nor did Jesus express that kind of a doubt. In fact, when you read the New Testament, Jesus and his light and his ministry is diametrically opposed to Satan and his darkness and the work of his minions. On a human level, darkness is not just the fact that we don't know Jesus, don't want to know Jesus, want nothing to do with Jesus. But it's a decision that we make. We can choose to live in light, or we can choose to live in the darkness. We can choose to do all those attractive, shiny things that Satan may put in front of us, or we can choose to live in the light of Christ, to live in His truth, to live under the reign and rule of the crucified and risen Lord. But for those of us that choose to live in the darkness, for those of us that pick dark over light, because perhaps it's easier, all we've done is set ourselves up for bondage that's painful and seemingly never ending. Because we end up being in bondage to a world where Satan rules, where he brings with him lies and deception, misinformation, death, separation, not only from God, but oftentimes from those who love us, who live in the light. When we read in Isaiah 9, we read this: the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And it's true. Before Jesus came, there was very little mention of God. There was a remnant. Until John the Baptist came as his forerunner, there were very few who worshiped God, who were still waiting for the consolation of Israel, who were still waiting for Jesus, the Messiah, to come. They walked in darkness. Not that the sun didn't shine. They walked in spiritual darkness. And then Jesus came, the light of the world. People had a choice. The light of the world was in their midst. He walked among them in Israel, in Galilee, everywhere he went. Some believed. Many did not. It's no different today. Some believe and many don't. Oh, these people had good physical eyesight, but spiritually, they were blind. That's the point that John is making. That's the point that Jesus was making, that many people have eyes that see and spirits that are blind. Maybe this blind beggar spot was close enough to the entrance of the temple that that night he heard Jesus say, "I am the light of the world." Maybe, just maybe, he had heard that voice before. But it was a festival time. It was busy. There were people everywhere. And then all of a sudden, everything stopped. Maybe this blind man, whose hearing no doubt was keen, heard someone kneel in the dirt. Maybe he even heard someone spit. And here's, I didn't know this before. Here's the cool thing about spit. They believed in this day and age that if you were a person of importance, a person of wisdom, that if you spit on something that needed to be healed, there was a good chance that would happen. So I think about all those times that my mom and my grandma, you know what I'm talking about. And so there stood this man, blind. He has no idea who's around him. And then he feels a gentle touch on his eyes. And he feels damp clay. I wonder what he thought. And then he heard that voice. The voice that he'd heard before said, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam." Was this a prank? Was somebody just messing with him? Did he feel foolish? I can guarantee you there was a scene, because there was always a scene when Jesus was about healing. No doubt the crowd paraded through the streets of Jerusalem with this man. What was going to happen next? I wonder, did he go faster the closer he got? Was his heart pounding? What if this really worked? What if this clay actually meant that he might be able to see? And so he finally got to the pool, washed the clay off of his eyes. Maybe the very first thing he saw was his reflection. Light poured into him. He could see with his eyes and with his heart. I wonder, maybe he danced all the way home, breaking into a run as he got closer, and he burst into the house and he said, "Look, Ma, no Cain. I can see. This is what happened." And it was wondrous and joyous, as it is when someone is healed. Now, and there were people that were saying, but people didn't know what to do with this guy. And there were people that were saying, how can this be? If we were to read the rest of the 9th chapter, we would see that the neighbors questioned this man, that the elders questioned this man, the leaders in the church in Jerusalem questioned this man. And he kind of got to the point where he said, how many times do I have to tell you? This man named Jesus came and he spit in the dirt and he put clay on my eyes and I washed them in the pool and now I see. Not only with my eyes, but I know that this could not have happened had this man not been of God. If you or I make the choice to follow Jesus, if we make the choice to not just tell people that we're Christians, but to actually invite him into our lives, to put him at the center of who we are and what we do, I guarantee you, your life will change too. So much so that people may look at you and go, that looks like so-and-so. But how can that be? That's not how they used to live. But it's how we're called to live. We're called to live different. Paul tells us in Romans 12 that we are to live in the world, but not to live of the world, because this is the only place for us to live right now. But we are called to live different. We are called to acknowledge that Jesus is the Savior of the world. We are called to share that story with others so that they might know the saving grace. I guarantee you that blind man and his family were never the same. And wherever they went, people had questions, and it gave them an opportunity to talk to people about who Jesus was and what Jesus had done. Some of you have seen my necktie that has the Last Supper on it. The first time I saw that necktie, we were at a bar in Wisconsin. Family had gone out to eat and gone to the restaurant and the bar, or to the bar and the restaurant afterwards, and the young man that was tending bar had on that necktie that has the Last Supper. And he was young, early 20s, and I'm watching him, and I finally said, "So why the necktie?" And he says, "That's what everybody wants to know. That's why I wear it, because when they ask, then I have a chance to share with them who Jesus is." That's how we're called to live, not the necktie, but to share. To tell people who Jesus is so they know what healing in our hearts is, so they know what it's like to have a heart go from being stone to being flesh. We see Jesus heal over and over in Scripture. We've even seen him heal other people who are blind. But this was different. This was unparalleled. It was unprecedented. Just think about it. What happens when blindness, when someone who's blind meets the light of the world? What happens when someone who's a sinner meets the Savior? What happens when somebody who's hungry meets the bread of life, or someone who's thirsty meets living water? What happens when lost sheep meet the good shepherd, or the dead meet Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life? The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. Those who are hungry and thirsty are filled. They're satisfied. People are made whole. They're healed, not just physically. Because so often we see people in Scripture who are physically healed. Shortly after, are spiritually healed as well. Because they have an encounter with Jesus Christ. It happens today too. People who are physically healed who never thought they would be. Many of them have an encounter. They know somehow that they have met the living Lord. Many times, whether it's then or whether it's now, physical healing leads to spiritual healing, leads to an encounter. But if we are to be spiritually healed, we have to take a look at ourselves. We have to be willing to look in the mirror. We have to be willing, perhaps, to change how we live, the language we use. We have to be willing to invite Jesus in, to clean out all the gunk that's inside so that he has a place to live. We have to be willing to consider that Jesus really is the only way, truth, and life to the Father. That means our lives are different. It means we're called to be obedient. Just as the blind man was obedient when Jesus said, "Go and wash," he went. If we are serious about following Jesus, then we need to step into the light, into his light, knowing full well that it may expose things that we don't want anyone to see. Family may not like it. They may not recognize us. Friends may not want to hang out with us anymore. We may have to kind of retool everything it is that we do. The thing is, the light of Christ is all over the place. Both the blind man and the Pharisee stood in the same light. The blind man was open. He was healed physically. He was willing to listen, to follow, to believe. But the Pharisees were so caught up in their self-sufficiency and their rules that they couldn't even see the light that was standing right in front of them. Jesus, the light of the world, came. There was great light at his birth. There was light at his transfiguration. We talked about that last week. And those who believed knew that in that light something amazing was happening. Jesus, the light of the world, came. He taught and he healed. And he showed people God's great love for them. Jesus, the light of the world, came. He was obedient to the Father. John tells us that Jesus came to do the work of his Father. He brought the power of God to bear in this life, in this man's life, in your life, and in mine. And those who believed, those who chose to believe, who chose to live in the light, to walk in the light, who confessed that Jesus was Lord, those folks were transformed. They were healed. Their hearts were changed. And people who had never before seen Jesus with their hearts, now could see. The blind man had never had an encounter with God before that night that Jesus put clay on his eyes. He had never, ever had that kind of an encounter with God. But once he knew, once he had that physical healing that Jesus brought, he knew that only Jesus could come from God. And he was healed, and he believed. Amen.